Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah, the podcast where we talk about aquatic life and how it reproduces. So today...
Oh, shit. I've been reading the wrong books.
So today we're going to talk about sharks. Sharks swim around each other in this weird, like, blizzardy circle. While the male penetrates the female, and then they leave a sack on a tree, and then that grows into a baby shark that just populates our oceans with more man-eating machines. No, we're not that at all, are we, Tom?
No, I mean, if we are, it's news to me.
What are we talking about today, Tom?
So today we're talking about Harry Potter, Order of the Bloody Phoenix.
Please talk like that from now on.
My name is Michael Caine. And today we're talking about Harry Potter and the Order of the Fifi.
I want an actor voice.
Alan Rickman? Oh. Done to death, innit?
Yeah, I want a new one.
So, sorry.
I don't know, maybe I can be like Katharine Hepburn.
I know, Audrey Hepburn.
I can't do an Audrey Hepburn. I can do an impression of someone doing an impression of Audrey Hepburn. No, Katharine Hepburn, she talks like this, like, hello, Tom. Like, everything's a bit shaky.
I don't know who Katharine Hepburn is. Is she old-timely as well?
Yes, she's won more acting Oscars than any other actor.
Ooh.
She's won 4. But she never attended the ceremony to pick up the award, but she did, like, a presentation to someone else really late, like, a couple of months before she died, I think. She walked onto that stage, shaky as fuck. It was like, hello, I know you're surprised to see me here.
I'm a ghost, you see.
As you can see, I'm barely keeping myself together.
I'm about to make you all spooky.
No, I've not got a plug in my bottom. I've just got Parkinson's. Oh, Katharine. Oh, alas, she's dead now.
Yeah, so I gathered.
Yeah, what chapters do we do? Oh, I've got to do my song as well.
Yeah, I was going to remind you.
I'm just going to start and see what happens. This might end terribly. You might have to finish it for me again, Tom.
All right, I'll be on standby to finish you off.
Okay, Order of the Phoenix. Take me out for brunch. Read me a story. Give me a pack lunch.
That's brave. You're on brunch with lunch. The word that brunch is derived from.
Oh gosh, shall I have a second attempt?
And a bowl of Captain Crunch.
No, we don't even have Captain Crunch in this
country.
No,
I know. I don't even know what that is. It's just from, like, American TV shows.
Order of the Phoenix. We're reading with our glasses. We like it kind of sweet. Like treacle and molasses. There we go.
I thought you're definitely going to go asses.
You always think of a really good ending. You should write. From now on, Tom has to think of the final line of that song.
Fuck. All right.
Yeah, chapter 9.
Teen.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I've just written chapter 9 on mine. Wow.
Chapter 19, The Lion and the Serpent.
Why is it called that? Oh, is it because of the Quidditch match?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Quidditch chapter, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Been a while since we've had a Quidditch chapter.
It's been a while.
I knew you were going to do that. What is that?
It's so on Kevin Smith's podcast, he used to always say that if it had been a while since they'd done something. But it's apparently it's a line from a song where they go, it's been a while, something, something.
Huh.
So now I just go, it's been a while. Like that.
Because I've heard people do that before.
Yeah.
But now thinking about it, I might just have heard you do that before.
Yeah, I'm the source of everything, Tom. They call me Mr. Pig. Okay, right. So all I can think of is the Lion King, and then when Pumba goes, they call me Mr. Pig. And that's what that sounded awesome and godlike. So that's what came to my mind.
Good. I'm glad we got the explanation because I feel it was needed. All right. Harry feels smug about rebelling right under Umbridge's nose.
Yeah, he's like it's a glowing secret.
Yes.
He keeps his spirits up.
He's all aglow.
Yeah, he's all aglow because he's had his ready brick.
Yes.
But his mum didn't make it for him, Tom.
She didn't.
Can you imagine if in the mornings he like puts on like a little pinny and a ginger wig and he makes himself a ready break and talks to himself like he's his mum, but he puts it on the table and then he quickly takes everything off and then sits down and goes, thanks, mum. And then he's waiting for the reply and he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Harry.
Oh, no, Harry.
Yeah, it's hard to schedule meetings, though, because... for the DA, because they're playing Quidditch all the time.
Yeah, and they got like different teams' Quidditch matches, three different teams' Quidditch matches, obviously no Slytherins in the DA.
Yeah. Which, yet again, I think is another missed opportunity for JK.
Yeah.
Just wish we'd had one or two good Slytherins that were students.
Yeah, you know? Not them all just to be cunts. Although I suppose there is a sort of tribal mentality in school. Like, it's difficult to stand out as the one that goes against what your kind of group is doing more so in school than in later life, I think.
I guess so, but if you found other people in Slytherin who were like-minded, then those could have been the people that she talked about.
Yeah,
just,
I guess
like, a group of like three friends or even just two that were just like, you know, cool.
Yeah,
and Harry was friends with them. I think I would have liked her because they could have displayed all the other Slytherin qualities just without being a total
but like, angled towards using them in a way.
Yeah,
that,
like,
if
good...
it isn't just proper Voldemort-y.
Yeah, so if they had done like good things, but they'd been like
cunning and sly about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then that would have been, you know, impressive, I feel.
Mm.
Alas, it didn't happen.
Alas, did not. Hermione has devised an ingenious method of communication for the DA. Fake galleons.
Yeah, I thought that was really impressive.
It is.
She does things with them.
Yeah, so the serial on a normal galleon is like the serial number that's round the outside, but on hers
outside,
it's like
round the outside.
Right. Guess who's back?
Back again.
Hermione's back.
With a
get
galleon.
On the train.
Get on the train. Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, so on their coins, it displays like the date and time of their next
Yeah, she's
meeting.
Like, "I'll whenever Harry changes his one, all the rest of them will change. So I used a Proteon charm and it will glow hot in your pocket."
Yeah.
Like a little hot pocket.
And everyone's just kind of staring blankly at her and she's like, "Oh, well, I mean, we don't have to use it if you..." And then Terry Boot, I think, from Ravenclaw goes, "You know how to do a..." Was it? Protein charm.
Proteon charm.
Proteon.
"You know how to do a protein charm? Yes. I can conjure many chicken drumsticks." Look, and everyone's like, "Wow!" And and Hermione gives like her back pocket a little pat, like the Asda Prize pat.
Yeah,
like dun dun. Oh god! And Cho's like, "My mum goes to Iceland," and Hermione's like, "Fuck off!"
Yeah.
But yeah, so Hermione gets all bashful because she's impressed.
And then Terry, yeah, he's all like, "But that's like any WT stand." And he's like, "Why aren't you in Ravenclaw?" Yeah. And she's like, "Well, to tell you the truth, Sorting Hat did consider for a long time putting me in Ravenclaw, but in the end decided that I would be Gryffindor.
It actually wanted to put me in a fifth house, but I would have been the sole member."
Yeah. It said I was the saviour.
Yes, I couldn't hear it properly. It sounded like it was saying I was the... Fora, but I don't know, it was muffled over my ears.
The Fury, I don't know.
Alas, he put me in the house that had the closest colours.
Yeah, and I feel like that after the first four books, I reckon like the fandom was just like, "Why is Hermione in Gryffindor?
Yeah.
Why is she not in Ravenclaw where she clearly should be?" As JK was like, "Fine." "I'll have some cunt in Ravenclaw, question her about it, and then you can all shut the fuck up."
Maybe she didn't get put in a house. Maybe the Sorting Hat was like, "I've never seen a soul as dark as yours."
"You're a blend of all the colours." That sort of murky purpley colour.
Yes, like light when blended together, it just makes a perfect white. Oh, God. Yeah. Hermione, what a gal.
So pure.
Oh, God. So the fucking first Quidditch match of the season is coming up.
Yeah, Ron's been doing all right. He's been doing all right.
Yeah.
But he gets very flustered
when he makes a mistake, which yeah. he does often, because he's Ronald Weasley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ronald Bilious Weasley.
Is that his middle name?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. He should have changed it to Ronald Awesome Weasley. That made him feel better, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. Or if he'd made Awesome his first name. Hi, I'm Awesome Weasley.
Awesome Bilious Weasley. Yeah.
The third. Oh, yeah, and in the corridors, all the teams keep on hexing each other. And Alicia Spinett gets hit with an eyebrow curse. But I accidentally wrote, Alicia Spinett gets hot with an eyebrow curse. Her eyebrows grow down past her chin. And everyone's like, ah, that looks like a perfect set of curtains. Ones I like to part and sail through. And Lucius Spinett is like, can you just give me the ointment, Madame Pomfrey?
So it's the morning of the Quidditch match. There's something on some Slytherin badges.
Oh, yeah. And Hermione spots them first, but doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And they all have their breakfast. Harry makes his ready break. And Hermione's like,
he's already been over to his mum's grave, just holding the box of ready break and just wide-eyed and hopeful.
No, he's there putting lipstick on Ginny. Being like, so this is what you're going to do. And she's like, why? Shh. Just say, I love you, Harry. You're my favourite son. Oh, God.
Well, you see Luna's lion hat.
Yeah, and then Harry has to take Ron down to the changing rooms, and Hermione's like, don't let him see the Slytherin's badges.
Don't let him see you cry.
Yeah. Never let go, Harry.
Crabbe and Goyle are the new Slytherin beaters.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that like...
That's like a whole thing.
Is it? What's a beater? Nothing. What's a beater with you? Ah. Yeah, so they start playing.
Yeah, enjoy. We get
it's McG and the J, and we're doing our thing. Everybody, look around. Look what makes me sing.
Lee Jordan's just crying. Yeah. McGonagall's got like strings from his head.
I promise you, these are tears of joy. Yeah. She puts her hand up my back, but I'm just a little boy. Oh, God.
He's a fucking terrible commentator.
I know.
He's been doing that since he was in like the third year.
Yeah. Why do they keep on letting him back on the pitch?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's like, maybe there's not many opportunities for black students at Hogwarts. So you're like, okay, you can be the commentator or you can work in the kitchen. Like, just pick one.
Or you can like play the upright bass in the corner in the Great Hall.
Do any of you tap dance? Oh, God. But yeah, he says when he's commenting about Angelina, he says, yeah, I've asked, I keep on asking her out, and she keeps on saying no.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not appropriate.
Yeah, don't, what?
Don't shame her because she doesn't fancy you.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? Little prick. I said, we're going to go.
Yeah, McGonagall's got it all scripted out again. Jordan!
And every time she squeals that, she like squeezes his like intestine. So he's like, ah!
Yeah. And the Slytherins have written a new song.
Yeah.
It's all about Ron.
It is all about Ron. I didn't like the way that Fry sang it in air quotes.
Honestly. Yeah, it wasn't really singing. It was more just like talking to a beat.
Yeah.
But then I suppose, what is he supposed to make up, write a melody for it?
Yeah, I do it every episode.
Yeah, but then you're taking certain artistic license, aren't you?
What do you mean?
Like, if you write a melody to a song that's been written in a book, it's not necessarily your place to do as an audiobook narrator. Or is it? Maybe it is. I don't know.
Well, the reason they don't do it is obviously because of, like, they don't want it to accidentally sound like something and then have to pay you.
Yeah,
pay you
I guess it. There's that as well.
But just do every song to the tune of Greensleeves like they did the other one. Weasley cannot save a thing. He cannot block a single ring. That's why Slytherings all sing. Weasley is our king. There we go. Well, we can do it to a Tudor wannabe. Weasley was born in a bin. He was just a quaffalin. Weasley will make sure we win. Weasley is our king.
Do another one.
Well, Harry swears over to Ron to tell him to, like, look, just ignore them. They're all a bunch of pricks. But Ron accidentally lets the Quaffaloon again.
Yes, proving Slytherin's right.
Yeah. So Ron dives off his broom, lands on his head, breaks his neck, and that's the end of him. And I was like, ah, thank God we've got five other redheads to choose from.
Thank God me and Hermione can actually just get things done now.
Yeah, oh, thank God we got rid of this dead weight. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Ron. Ah, you'll get it later. He's always been slow.
Say hello to Mum for me.
Yeah. Up in ginger heaven.
Which is Nazi hell. Harry does get the snitch, though.
Yeah, he does. As far as we can tell, once again, just because he has a faster broom.
Yeah, I mean, almost completely.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Again, yeah, because the Slytherin team are smashing the Gryffindor team. They're like, what, 4 goals ahead or something? There's like 40-point difference. Mm. Harry's like, oh, it doesn't matter if I can just catch the snitch, rendering the rest of the game pointless.
Yeah, this is what I mean. That's all you need is the Seeker.
Yeah, but or just change the rules so that the Seeker doesn't just have the ability to win for their team regardless of what the score is.
Yeah, maybe if catching the snitch just ends the game.
Yeah.
So if you got the lead, then you can...
Yeah, so if your team's not winning, your job as Seeker is just to prevent the opposing Seeker from getting the snitch.
Yeah, that'd be way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I like that more.
Yeah, the 150 points thing just renders this entire sport broken.
Yeah. Like, massively. So I bet it's fucking rare that a team doesn't win.
Yeah, I mean, it happened in the World Cup final at the start of Book 4. But
yeah, just to make a point.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, now we've covered that for the 100th time.
Yeah, they all land.
Oh, yeah, and Malfoy starts being a wanker.
Yeah, like, so much.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It is, but I feel like, again, I can't... Maybe as a like hormone riddled teenager, it would have been harder to keep my cool. But
no, like it would have been fine. Like these guys just take everything so personally.
Yeah, and just get riled up and rise to anger so quickly. Yeah. It's like he's clearly just like I would think that you're pathetic. What are you doing?
Yeah, like why? Just because they're cussing out your mum. Why are you getting so like?
Yeah, like the amount how much of a tryhard Malfoy is.
Yeah,
it's just laughable.
He basically just calls Molly fat and ugly.
Yeah,
and he says, "But
like for Malfoy's words to have any kind of impact, they have to at least sort of value what he says and what he thinks."
Yeah,
like if they, which why would they? They would
yeah,
just
that's
be like,
"Such a good point, actually. I think they're just so fucking Gryffindor." That they just can't help themselves.
Yeah.
They're like the kind of boys at school that would like puff out their chests and like ram into each other just going, coming in.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you are twats.
Yeah, you look like actual like gorillas.
Yeah, fuck off. Pricks. I hate you all.
Good. All right, positive energy.
But yeah, he says something about Harry's mum and then like the twins... Start forward. No, one of the twins starts forward.
Yeah, he's doing the classic, hold me back.
Yeah. But yeah, so he says something about Harry's mum and Harry fucking just punches him in the stomach.
Yeah, and then one of the other twins joins him, whichever twin isn't being held back. joins him, and they're going to start kicking the shit out of Malfoy, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Madame Hooch goes, "Impedimenta!" And Harry gets knocked back and falls down.
Yes.
And then...
Sends them all to their heads of houses. So Harry and George, I think, get to McGonagall's office.
Yeah, she comes storming up.
And she spills her biscuit tin.
I know, already! She's like, "No more shot bread for you." And he's like, "No, not the ginger newts."
I still can't believe that's an actual thing.
Oh my God, I know, it's the best, isn't it?
I know, I love it.
Yeah, she's like, "You're both going to get detentions for a week and going to cut off your pinky fingers. Add them to my collection."
She just pulls open her blouse, and she's just got them on a necklace. And then we get the ahem. She's just on her knees in the corner.
And Dumbledore's like, "Sorry, Dolores." "When I see someone yawn, I just pop it in there."
I got the idea from Lord Voldemort, actually.
Shazam! And Dolores is like, I don't know what her opening line is.
Oh, yeah, I think...
they deserve a little
I think they deserve a little
detention.
More than detention. And yeah, McGee's all like, "Well, what you think doesn't fucking matter, does it? Yeah. So go
She's
fuck
like,
yourself."
"Well, actually, as of this morning, I wrote to Cornelius." "I'm sorry, I mean Mr. Fudge or whatever. And he gave me this." And she reads out his, what do they call it? Proclamation, declaration.
The Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah. She's like, 67 years ago. Yeah. Basically, McGonagall, this just means that you no longer have dominion over Lee Jordan. She's like, "No!" "Who else am I supposed to use as a puppet?" And she's like, "No, all this means is you have to pay him now." She's like, "Oh, thank God."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
"Well, can I pay him in biscuits?" "Yes, of course." "Oh, damn, I just threw them all over the floor." "Ah! Yeah. Damn you, Godzilla."
Yeah, so Umbridge gives Harry and George...
No, what's tell them what it says.
Oh, what, the educational...
Yeah, it doesn't actually say what I just said.
Oh, yeah. It gives the Hogwarts High Inquisitor authority to overrule or change punishments made by teachers, because Umbridge realized that she didn't have any more authority in punishing students than just lowly teachers.
Mm. And she's like, "So I think a lifetime ban from Quidditch will suffice."
Yes.
"And I'll keep your brooms locked up in my
cupboard."
"I'll keep your brooms locked up in my fluffy pink garden." "Where no hand will ever reach them." Ever. She just starts crying.
"I keep it so nicely perfumed.
It's so fizzy." "Look, if I wiggle side to side, I can make my labia clap. They can now..."
And that's just that. She wasn't talking about her vagina before. Oh, sorry, what were we talking about?
"It's just my parlor trick." "I can make you do the Macarena."
"Look, I can make you jump and turn 90 degrees at the end and everything."
Oh, God. Aye. Yeah, and then, but she also says, "And I think I better ban the other twin too, because yes, if someone hadn't held him back, I feel like you would have resulted to such tomfoolery." And they're like, What? And then they both leave with their heads down low.
Yes.
Yeah, Harry's obviously devastated. Angelina's fucking upset.
Who's upset?
Angelina Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Nothing. She said she was fucking upset.
Oh my God.
That was like we scripted that.
Fucking hell. Oh, wow. Stop fucking throwing your phone about. Oh my God. Tom dropped his phone again.
Yes.
Right, Ron comes through the portrait hole. He's like, psh.
Lucky fat lady.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing Kegels and now I can make it shoot 3 meters. Like, wow. No one wants to sleep with you though.
But look at the fat lady. She's all spooky.
So yeah, they're all like, Ron's like, do you know what? I think I'm going to resign.
Yeah, he's like, sorry, I don't know why I thought I could play Quidditch. I'm terrible. I'm going to resign. And then Harry's like, well, if you do, the team will only have 3 players left.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa?
Yeah, and then Hermione's like, well, do you know what? I can think of something that would make your life infinitely worse. Hagrid's back. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the end of that chapter.
Yeah, then we're going to
chapter 20, Hagrid's Tale.
Yes.
Which is not the one that you've been dreading.
It's one of the ones.
Oh, okay.
The one that I always skip is Grawp.
Yeah. That's got to be coming up soon.
Yeah, it happens during the next Quidditch match.
You got to listen to
I
it.
I know, and I'm so upset about it. Like, I really am. Fucking hell. And I've literally not listened to it in like a decade. God.
Well, I thought this chapter was quite nice.
It was fine, yeah. He was less annoying than other chapters.
Yeah.
Mostly because he was just telling a story and not necessarily being himself.
Yeah, and telling a story about something he was like endeavouring to do and actually going about in a relatively sort of sensible and non-buffoonery way.
Yeah, he tried.
Yeah, probably with the help of Madame Maxime.
Yeah, if it wasn't for her, he would have probably fucking drowned swimming across the channel to France.
Which we assume is how he got to France.
Of course! They can't fit on a boat. Maybe they just rode whales there. Oh, and it was so romantic. They're holding hands, they skim over the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hope they don't dive.
Maybe giants can breathe underwater.
Yeah, or they can communicate with whales.
Yeah, like, and just... And the whale's like, what?
The fuck do you call me? Get off me.
Yeah. I guess giants do have extra large lung capacity.
Yeah.
And they do have 4 stomachs.
But then...
Yeah, so they wrap up and get under the cloak and go to... Hagrid's.
They knock on the door and they're like, Hagrid, it's us.
And they all have a hug.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I should have bloody known. Been home 3 seconds.
And I have to pee again. I'm trying to ignore it.
Okay. I'll save it. And we're back.
Should we keep that in?
What are you saying? You have to pee and then suddenly cutting to and we're back?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, so they're all looking at Hagrid. He's got an injury over his left eye. He's like, whoa, I am joining a girl group. You might have heard of them. Oh, you don't remember? Oh,
I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
All our listeners who know anything about anything, you know what I'm talking about.
Joining a girl group?
Yeah.
With an injury over his left eye? Oh, what? Lisa Left Eye Lopez? Is that
a
thing? I don't know what group she was from.
TLC!
Oh, fucking, it's a different culture, mate.
If they're not white and holding a guitar, I don't want anything to do with it. Anyway, fucking hell. Yeah, and Hermione's like, oh, you really should go to the pom-pom.
Oh, Hagrid. No, the pom-pom will take care of you.
She takes care of everybody. And he's like, no thanks. Or would rather stay here and lick it clean myself. Giants have extendable tongues, you see. Oh, God. Ugh.
Yeah, and
like,
he's,
nah, I'm fine.
He's limping around as well, suggesting like broken ribs. He's all sorts of fucked up.
Yeah, but he's carrying on like a trooper.
Yes, he insists that it's nothing. And Hermione's like, did the giants beat you up?
Yeah. Hagrid, you're missing half of your torso. He's like, funny story, that was actually a shark attack off of the Isle of Wight.
Yeah. Didn't take kindly to the whale I was riding on.
Sharks don't like it when you pet them, you see. It's all right, just play them a bit of music and they calm right down.
Yeah.
What kind of music? Just playing the theme tune for Sharky and George. Crane Busters of the Sea, you see. So he puts a dragon steak over his eye.
Yeah, that looks gross. And it cannot be a good way to...
Yeah, do we not have frozen peas?
I mean, is it some... Yeah, some... I guess it's got to be something about the fact that it's dragon steak, meaning it's like has magical curative properties or something.
I don't think so, though.
He's just snapping a big cold bit of meat over his eye. Is that...
Yeah, but why is it even cold? Where's he been refrigerating it?
Yeah.
Maybe he's just been keeping it in the snow outside.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe he was just foraged in the snow and happened to find a bit of dragon meat. And he's like, oh, this has been left over from book four.
Yeah.
Waste not, what not. Slapped it over his eye and had it for tea.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross. Then he sticks it back up.
Well, I assume this is dragon, but it could be anything, really. Could be a little bit of Cedric.
Or you do like a bit of sausage, or you do.
Yeah.
Good old Cumberland sausage there. He takes a photo of himself eating it and sends it to Amos. And he's like, look, my boy.
You diggeries, famous for your rump.
Lovely tasting berries. There we go. Look, and the teeth come out in me poo. Like lovely bits of sweet corn. Oh, fuck it. Oh, no.
No. We're pretty sure it's dragon steak.
Yeah, so yeah, Hermione did ask if the giants beat him up.
Yeah, and he's like, how'd you know? Who told you that?
They're like, we guessed.
It was super obvious.
Yeah. Dumbledore kind of said it when he...
At the end of the last book.
Yeah, because he did say to Cornelius, you need to send envoys to the giants. No, or is it convoys? It's like envoys, isn't it?
Yeah.
I made this mistake last time. I can't remember which one's which.
You need to send a conga line.
No, a convoy is like a load of vans with... like supplies in it, isn't it?
Yeah, but then you can you know, if you're traveling in convoy, you're just traveling like one after the other in a line.
Oh, is that what it means?
That's my understanding of it anyway, but oh, okay. I'm not familiar with
all the
various definitions.
That's how lobsters cross the ocean bed.
Lobsters cross the ocean bed in convoy.
Yeah. Huh. They literally do like a lobster conga. Yeah.
Well, doing the little step like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the other fish are just like, will you keep it down? Damn lobsters and your conga.
Yeah. Like, we've got cabin fever. We're flipping our bandanas. Been on the ocean floor so long, we've simply gone bananas. Oh, what a great film.
Oh, I take your word that that's a film.
You have seen it. You've seen Muppet Treasure Island.
No, I haven't.
Oh, Tom. That's where my dead Tom joke comes from.
Is it?
Yeah. Because they do like the roll call and they're like...
I like that you're like big over the top outrage at the fact I haven't seen films has ebbed away now. And now I tell you I haven't seen a film. You just go, oh, Tom.
No, I can't remember what the thing... I'll send you a GIF that I have. I've saved it because I was going to use it at one point, but I didn't know you didn't know the reference. But I'll send it to you so you can see the bit I mean when they were doing the roll call. That's why I always, not always, that's why I often call you Dead Tom.
Do you?
From that. Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe you didn't know this. No. I have, whenever I've missed
you. Maybe I am dead. So it just sounds like you're calling me Tom.
Yeah, I'm just doing this podcast by myself.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow. Like The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to be Hayley Joel Osment in that film.
No.
I'd want to be Misha Barton.
Is she his mum?
No, she's the one who got poisoned by her stepmother. But she later goes on to be...
That sounds like Cinderella or something.
No, do you remember she slides the videotape to him under the bed?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh!
We did, it was literally like a few episodes we were talking about The Sixth Sense.
I can't remember anything. Fucking hell. Oh, God, this is so distressing.
Did you say it turns out Bruce Willis is dead in the end?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I haven't seen it, but even I knew that.
You really should watch it. It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
There's lots of good movies I should watch.
Yeah. Have you seen The Godfather? Because I haven't.
I have seen The Godfather.
Oh, wow.
Have I seen The Godfather? No, I've only seen the first one.
Isn't the second one meant to be the best one?
Supposedly, yeah.
I just kind of can't be bothered to invest that much time. They're so long.
Yeah.
I ain't got the patience.
That's how I feel about films in general.
Yeah. That's why I'm about nearly everything. It takes me about 3 days to watch like a film I haven't seen before these days.
Yeah.
Because I run out of steam. Even if it's really good.
I just need to watch it in such slow motion to absorb everything.
It's like, you didn't say the magic word.
I'm like, scribbling on a notepad to didn't say magic word.
Early form of a GIF, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, God, right. Yeah, so Harry says, yeah, there are giants in the mountains.
Yeah. And Hagrid tells him the whole tale about how him and Olymp... Oh, they agree to... that's it. Harry says, you tell us about the giants, we'll tell you about the Dementors.
Yeah.
And Hagrid's like... What? I made noises over the top of whatever that joke was.
I said, I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Oh. Basically, yeah.
And I was like, all right, but I've got to warn you. It might break the table.
It'll and split you in two, it will.
What do you think Olymp didn't make it back?
Yeah. She's half giant.
She literally is half giant.
Yeah. Yeah, so they agreed to tell Hagrid about the Dementors and stuff over the summer. If Hagrid tells them about all the giants... Yeah, says Olymp went with her. She's not afraid of roughing it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's it. They pretended they knew they were going to be followed by the ministry, so they pretended to be on holiday, going on a lovely holiday to the south of France.
Oh, yeah, and he says a place, and Hermione's like, oh, yes, I've been there.
Yes.
It's like, well, fuck off, lucky for you, money bags.
Going to France.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, do you know what? One summer, Hermione, I found a dead fox in my back garden. So she's like, oh, Ron.
Do they have those in France?
Mine's like, look,
turns out it was just Cousin Ethel.
Yes, we did wonder why it was buried mouth to veg. Mine's like, look, I just love going to France. I find that they're very enthusiastic collaborators. Right, do you want to tell the story of what happened?
Oh, fucking hell, not really.
I mean, should we try and abbreviate it as much as we can?
Yes.
They have to go and make friends with the giants. Dumbledore gives them gifts to give to the leader of the giants, who's the most ugliest and biggest one.
Yes. One of which is an ever-burning...
Yeah, a Galbraithian... branch of Galbraithian fire.
Yeah, which is like an ever-burning fire.
Yeah, and I was like, how do they transport it?
That was going to be my question. Especially on the back of those whales.
Yeah, it would have got wet, Tom.
But then I suppose if it's ever-burning, you just pull it out of the water.
Like napalm.
Yeah. Is that how napalm works?
Yeah, I think that's why it's so bad, because you can't put it out.
Yeah.
I think. I'm not entirely... I've heard that once, but it might be not true.
But yeah, I suppose maybe it does. I guess it wouldn't be ever burning if it was quenched by water.
Maybe it's not hot.
But then, what good is it?
Just because it looks
just
looks
for
nice.
Light.
Yeah, because like, what would you can what would you use it for anyway?
Well, cooking.
I guess so. If it's ever burning fire, then you'd have to just keep it in one place, because otherwise it would just set fire to things, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess if you set fire to something using ever burn, like if you set that ever burning flame against something to set something else on fire, is that ever burning or is that just normal fire? Because if it is ever burning, you could very easily destroy the entire world with that one.
Yeah. If you fell asleep in a bale of hay, you'd be fucked. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very confused as to how it works.
Yeah.
I reckon it might not be hot. I reckon it's like an ever burning flame that is not actually useful, but it just looks pretty.
Yeah. And you can use it as a torch that will never go out.
Maybe it's like in like, is it like the Moses? I only remember from Prince of Egypt, the film. They're like, God comes in as like an ever-burning bush, but the flames are not hot. So maybe it's like that.
Yeah, I remember something about a burning bush and Moses.
I bet you did.
Yeah. She said it was chlamydia. But...
I'm like, no, this is biblical if ever I did see it.
Just call me Moses. I'm going in.
I'm going to part the Dead Sea, baby. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, and the Gurg, which is the giant king, likes it.
He fucking loves it.
Yeah.
And he says, we present this gift to you. We ask that you speak with gift from Albus Dumbledore. We ask that you speak to with his messenger when we return again tomorrow with another present. And they come back with a lovely goblin helmet the next day. And
I wondered what the other presents were. I couldn't remember any of them. Did they have a third present?
I think so. I can't remember if I've written it down. No, I haven't. I've just written goes to give the third gift. Oh, so they chat and have a very productive chat over their goblin helmet, second gift. And they think it's all going well. And they go to come back the next... And then a fight breaks out that night, as they do in giant culture, because they're big and strong and idiots.
Yes.
And...
They're brutes.
Brutes, yes.
Brutes.
Brutes.
That's going to be McGonagall's new catchphrase from now on. I'm sorry.
Biscuits for the brutes.
Get your stubby fingers off my shortbread, you bunch of brutes. I love a good brooting of an evening. Brute me up me chassis. Fucking hell. That's McGonagall's like Tinder profile. It's like Tartan Bitch 105. Brute me up my chassis. She's like, yes, that'll get him going.
Shortbread for life. So the new Gurg is killed Carcass, who was the last Gurg, and one called Golgamath.
Yes. So yeah, Golgamash.
He did the Golgamash.
Oh my God. Oh my days. Golg. Good old Golg. Golg! Golg.
Golgan Brown.
With my Manchurians. What does he do? He shits in the head of the other one, didn't he?
He shits in the... Yeah, so Hagrid goes to give the third gift to Golgamath, and just carries on like normal. The giants lift him up by his ankles and look like they're going to do him in. Mm. And then Olymp uses magic on him, which is a mistake because giants hate.
Conjunctivitis curse, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah. And then they spend a few days watching and hiding out. And then they're like, well, you didn't give up and come home. He's like, no, I was there on a bloody task from Dumbledore. I'm not going to give up after 2 days.
Or you do what I say, and I say what I do. I'm like, what?
I read it on a fridge magnet.
What's a fridge? I don't know.
What's a magnet? Yeah.
It's what you call it when you get something stuck on a frozen body in your garden. You say, oh, what a fridge magnet. Hermione's like, I see. I need to go. I've just had a wonderful idea. Like, boop, 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 boop. Yeah, so what if we don't do live transportation? Yeah, and then don't they see like some Death Eaters making their way into the gorge that night or something?
Yeah, they see...
It's the...
McNair.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Gifton was miming. Whenever I go to explain a mime you were doing, I look over at the screen as if like explaining to the podcast. Explaining to the waveforms of our voices that are being recorded.
That's good though. Shows active engagement.
McNair was the executioner that was gonna kill Buckbeak.
Do we know what they gave the Gurg?
No. They were just in talks and the Gurg seemed open to talking with the Death Eaters. Mm. So they started skulking around the caves looking for any sort of giants who had been, you know, ostracized or whatever.
Yeah.
Be circumcised.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. That was such a... That means nothing. The word ostracized sort of sounds like circumcised.
Oh, fucking hell.
I'm just thinking of a jacket made of giant foreskin.
Ew. Well, I guess it'd be warm, though.
Yeah.
And waterproof.
Yep. A little bit smeggy.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Damn it. But if you keep them cold, that could be a very successful line of fridges. Yeah, so they had a little talk with those giants in the caves, and some of them were like, yeah, I'm sympathetic to your cause. But that night...
Yeah, Golgamath finds them and kills them, and in the end...
It doesn't even matter.
Yes, they tried so hard. And got so far.
Yeah, Hermione asked if Hagrid's mum was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he said, yeah, she's dead. They told me.
How? Also, why was his mum in the south of France?
I don't know. Well, that's where all the giants are now, isn't it?
Are they not in England then? Because why wouldn't they just go to the
I think it's said earlier.
How did they get across water?
Well, the giant, I don't know.
Maybe they just get on the back of the biggest one and use it as like a raft. And then just pull the body out of the water on the other side.
Just leave it in.
Yeah, yeah. Give it as a present to the sharks who aided you on your journey.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. That's exactly
makes
what
perfect
happened.
Sense.
Yeah, my mom was used as a raft, you see.
I think it's set, it's mentioned as, towards the start of Hagrid's story that these are the only giants left. There's only about 80 of them.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because Hermione goes, oh, don't muggles find them? And he's like, they do, but they don't make it out alive.
Yeah.
Which is a bit sad.
Yeah.
Get eaten like a little... No, I was going to say they get eaten like a T-Rex, but I meant to say like they get eaten like the people who get eaten by T-Rexes.
Oh, God. But if there's only like 80 giants left, are they going to be that valuable of an addition to an army? Especially if they're kind of vulnerable to magic. You can just use magic on them. Like,
if there's like 80 fucking 20-foot monsters coming towards you... Like, you're going to be scared.
Yeah, but I mean,
really,
are they
what
more...
Dumbledore should have done is give Hagrid a, like, little box that when the giants open it, it releases, like, a noxious gas that kills them all. And then the problem would have been solved.
Once again... I'll just bring up the if the good guys just kill anyone who might potentially be a problem to them or aren't worth anything to them, they cease to be good guys.
I don't think so. And then we get a knock, knock, knocking on Hagrid's door.
Bloody old Toady McToadface, innit?
Yeah, I want a better name for her.
Sherbet Sugar Cave.
That sounds fucking amazing. we can just call her Sherbet.
Sherby.
Sherby. Yeah.
Sherbs.
Sherbs. Shirley.
Laverne and Shirley.
Let's call her Fizzy Fanny. There we go. Hagrid's like, oh, we've got some alkaline solution that will clear that right up. either way, you're going to be walking out of here half the woman you used to be. So yeah, he opens the door. Obviously, the kids get under the cloak.
Yes.
And she introduces herself.
Yeah, she lets herself in.
Yeah, she goes, I thought I heard voices. He was just talking to me dog, Fang.
Was he talking back?
Yes. We taught him English when he was 3 years old. He's now only 2.5. She's like,
You win this round, giant.
Yeah, she says, there are footprints going to your house.
Yes, there are 3 sets of footprints leading up to your door in the snow. And he's like, well, I don't know, someone must have come visit That's before it. I got back. When there are none leading away from your house. And I'm like, what is she, fucking sleuth?
Yeah.
Also, why does it matter that they're there? Why couldn't they have just walked down?
That's a good point.
And then when Umbridge got there, just be like, hey, Yeah, we're here. What?
Maybe they just didn't want to know that they didn't want her to know that there was an association.
Yeah, maybe.
Just in case it was bad for Hagrid or... I mean, I didn't question that because it obviously seemed like a bad idea if she saw them. But yeah, like,
yeah,
I guess just like
well, yeah, I mean, I didn't question the... maybe it's just because it's night. Is it night? And they can't be walking around.
But it must be if Hagrid's lights were on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she asked him all about his injuries. He says he tripped. Where have you been? He panics for a minute. He's like, I've been away from my health.
Yeah, need some fresh air. Oh, change of scenery.
As gamekeeper, fresh air must be hard to come by.
So, oh, you need a change of scenery. She's like, mountain scenery.
Mountains. She pulls out a magnifying glass.
Oh, God, Hagrid looks down like a little pipe is just extruding from her nether regions. She's like, look at the glass, not at the pipe. Look at the glass, not at the pipe.
Yeah, and Hagrid's like, no, just south of France for me, sunshine and all that. And she's just,
Yeah.
And eventually she fucks off.
Well, no, she does a little tour of the hut and like, looks under the bed, looks in the cupboards.
Does she?
And then she passes within inches of Harry, who sucks in his stomach just to try and make himself flatter against the wall.
Ooh, I missed that.
Yeah. I always feel like if you're in the wizarding world and you're looking in a room for someone that you're not sure if they're actually there or not, just bring in a fire extinguisher and like do like the like, and then you know.
Ruin a lot of people's furniture that way.
Yeah, but I don't give a fuck.
You will when they send you the bill for it.
I'll be like, it's all in the name of the law. And I get my pipe out. But like, look at the glass, not the pipe. Yeah.
Yeah, so eventually she fucks off and they wait till she's gone back up to the castle.
Well, no, Hermione says, look, if she's going to be inspecting you, you need to, like, you can't be teaching us about your, like...
Yeah, magic. They wait till Umbridge has gone back up to the castle and then they get the cloak off.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said, and then they went back up to the castle.
No, they wait till she's gone back up to the castle. Good. Don't fucking undermine me again. Yeah, and yeah, Hermione starts asking about what he's going to be teaching them in class, and he's like, oh, I got plans. Exciting plans.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, ah, oh, fuck.
Alas, but she, as they leave, she goes, look, I don't care if she gets rid of Trelawney, but she's not getting Hagrid.
Yes.
I was like, I'd rather it the other way around. I hate them both, but at least Trelawney doesn't put my life in danger.
I don't know. I think I still prefer Hagrid.
He can't even make nice cakes. Oh, God. Right, and then we're on to chapter 21.
Yes, the Eye of the Snick.
Yeah.
God, the eyebrows I just got.
Oh, God. Yeah, so, like, the next day, Hermione goes back to Hagrid's to try and talk to him about the lesson, his lesson plans.
Yes, Ron and Harry stay in doing homework, and that's, I don't have anything more to say about that.
Well, Hermione comes back and says, look, I knocked at his door for half an hour.
Yeah, yeah, I wrote that as well. She was like, Hagrid wasn't there when I arrived. I knocked at his door for at least half an hour. Why?
Yeah, exactly.
We stood outside his door knocking for half an hour.
Yeah, wouldn't you just go, Alohomora, and go inside and be like, oh, he's not there?
Well, no, you would just go, he's not here.
Yeah, I'd probably Alohomora. Just fuck his place up. I'd fuck his place up and then leave like a little like elf toy behind and then make him think it was like the magic elf that fucked his things up. And then like when he sleeps, I'd move the elf around his place. When he wakes up, it's in a different place. So it's like, oh, the fucking elf is out to get me.
So what you're saying is you would just torture Hagrid.
Yeah. And then he wakes up again and his house is on fire and the elf is just there with like a little like match in his hand. Yeah. And he's like, why are you doing this to me? But yeah, she walks around the side after half an hour and sees him coming out of the forest with a...
He's coming out of the Forbidden Forest and he won't say what he's keeping in there.
And then she tries to talk to him and he's like, look, I don't know why you'd want to learn about...
No one in their right mind rather learn about Knarrs and Chimeras.
Yeah.
And they exchange panicked looks and she's like, I don't think he actually has a Chimera.
Yeah, that's a pretty, like, serious magical creature.
Yeah, fuck you up.
Yeah.
Glad we agree.
Oh, God. Do you remember in, like, Tudor times when they'd make, like...
Oh, yeah. I remember. Good old Henry.
Oh, my God. Do you know what I read the other day? How, like, sodomy became illegal was because Henry VIII, like, first over here, was when he made it illegal when he was starting the Church of England.
Does that just mean bumming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just like saying sodomy.
Saying it, doing it.
Watching it through a peephole. Fine, recounting it to the police. Yeah, but apparently
sketching
that's like...
it.
Look, it's not rape if they're already dead, okay? They're like, get this man out of my sight. that's not what Hagrid was talking about.
No. I feel like you were going to tell me another fact and then you got distracted by sodomy.
Yeah, how did I even get onto sodomy?
That happens so often.
That's it, no. Just a pattern in my lifetime. I'm about to do something and I just get distracted by sodomy. Yeah. No, do you remember when they used to make, like, those, like, when they're making a roast dinner, they used to make, like, food chimeras? So they would stitch the head of a duck onto, like, the body of, like, something else, like a goat or something like that, and then attach something else to that.
Yeah.
They would, like, sew it all together like and roast it.
Turducken.
Yeah! Like that.
Yeah.
And that disgusting.
I thought you were going to tell me like a fact.
No, I just wanted to remind you.
Do you remember that? Yeah, it's like fucking mad scientist level chef.
Yeah. Right, so yeah, everyone's talking about how they actually prefer Grubbly Plank's lessons and how Harry silently agrees in his heart.
Well.
He does, he says it, yeah, down, yeah, he
yeah,
likes
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. He's, But if he feels, he does feel like anger towards them for being shitty to Hagrid, but he says he does admit there's one small true part of him that he understands why people prefer Grubbly Plank's lessons.
I think that's exactly what I just said. Anyway, they go to Comker.
Comk.
Comk.
Yes, they Comker.
I don't like that.
No.
Nah. Oh, at the edge of the forest, and Hagrid leads him into the forest with half a dead cow over his shoulder.
Yes, because they prefer the dark.
Yeah, he's like, today I'm going to show you how you feed raptors. Okay, so everyone keep their fingers inside their gloves. When I tell you to not move, don't move.
She's a clever girl.
Yeah. I've got no kitchens to hide in here.
Yeah.
Malfoy is not happy.
No, he's not. He's shitting a brick.
Yeah. They go deeper and deeper into the forest, so deep there's no snow on the ground.
Yeah. Hagrid's all proud. He reckons he's got the only domestic herd of these in Britain.
Yeah.
And he calls and then out he to them. Walks out, throws his meat down.
He's like, oops, wrong one.
Come on, class, give me a hand, get it back in.
I ain't got a zipper, I just got a massive safety pin. Yes, Neville, they're called adult diapers. Thank you very much. Oh, God. Then he calls out for the thestrals.
Yes.
So he's like... And
most of the class can't see them.
Yeah, so that wasn't a racist, like... sound, by the way. I was doing an impression of Shakira at the Super Bowl. You won't know that reference.
Are you still sure it's not racist? And also, you're correct. I don't know that reference.
No, I was doing an impression of Xena, Warrior Princess. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, do you remember that?
Yes.
No, her one was like... like
I was
that.
Just doing an impression of a Zulu tribe. It's not racist.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then everyone's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because Hagrid's just stood in the middle of the forest going... And no one can see anything.
Yeah, because he's covered all their eyes. He's like, he won't come out if you look at it. Don't be scared if you feel something brush past you.
Right now, Neville, open your mouth.
No, it's not a dead severed hand, I promise.
It might feel like fingers, but...
And Neville's like, this tastes like surgery.
Oh, that boy got everywhere, didn't he?
Oh, did he get inside your long bottom? Long bottom.
You want something that tastes like Cedric? Get a load of this steak.
It's refrigerated, you see. Right, yeah, so only three people in the class can see what approach is.
Yes.
It's Harry, Neville, and the smarmy Slytherin.
Yes.
Who I wish she'd described more. She doesn't even give them a name.
A skinny boy from Slytherin.
Yeah.
That's all we know about him.
Should we give him a name now? Let's call him Rafa Myers Bombtacular.
Wow, I was going for some sort of hybrid word between skinny and Slytherin. You just went way the other direction.
Oh my god.
I'm into it. Yeah. Him and Helia thought Buffins would probably hit it off.
What would their sons and daughters be called? Probably like Lucy. Yeah. Lucy and Jacob, there we go.
Yeah.
Nice, sensible names.
None of these ridiculous names our parents gave us.
Ah, oh, sodomy. Right, no, what happens?
Bloody thestrals.
Yeah, they see meat. Well, people who can't see it see meat disappearing into thin air.
Yeah. And then Hagrid asks who can see him. And then explain, and then well, why only some people can see him. And Hermione answers, because only those who've seen someone die can see him. And then Umbridge arrives and is a massive bitch.
So much. And this is where she starts speaking to him. She's described as speaking to Hagrid like he's foreign and very slow.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm here to inspect your lesson. And she does like miming of like inspecting or writing on her clipboard and stuff.
Yeah.
And Hagrid's like, huh?
All right.
Yeah. All
right. You're aware the ministry has classified thestrals as dangerous? And he's like, well, they're not dangerous. They've got a bit of a bad reputation. But he's like, well, they can take care of themselves. But I mean, you know, a dog will bite you if you taunt it. Won't it? Which is a good point.
Yeah. Umbridge is not impressed.
No.
She's like, oh, so you've trained thestrals? That don't impress me much. And I was like, dun, dun, dun. Yeah. She's like, don't get me wrong. I think you're all right. But I don't want you to split me in half in the middle of the night.
And Harry just got a guitar going.
Oh, and Hagrid's like, man, I feel like a giant. Yeah, he's what does he say where he does like the miming of flying?
I can't remember, but I remember him doing that.
Yeah, he says something, so. And then he's like, I can't remember now. It doesn't matter. It's unimportant.
Yeah, but I can't remember exactly what he says either, but it results in him doing like a motion of like flapping wings, and she writes down, has to resort to crude gestures to communicate.
Yes.
And then she goes around and asks the students, and she asks Pansy Parkinson if she can understand Hagrid, and she's like laughing super hard. But she's like, no, I can't. It's mostly just sounds like grunts half the time.
Yeah.
And then she asks Neville.
She's like, who did you see die? And he's like, I saw, did he say so his granddad?
Yeah. Does Umbridge ask him that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So she asks him very callously and like without any sort of, you know, tact.
Wow.
I think he sees his granddad die.
Yeah, it's his granddad, yeah. Which, when? Like, it must, sounds from, seems, because he's always just been raised by his gran.
Yeah, maybe his gran killed him.
But so Neville's been able to see the thestrals since year one?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Unless over the summer, his granddad maybe just stuck a fork in the toaster and Neville saw him.
I don't have toasters.
No, I mean the person who was toasting his toast.
And they turn around and strangled him.
Yeah. They turn around.
This is why you never put forks in the toaster.
Yeah, he stuck a fork in the toaster turned around, cut off his kneecaps, and he bled out. And I was sitting there playing with my exploding snap. He broke my fingers.
Going, oh, there goes Grandad. What's that reptile horse?
And why is it in my living room? Yeah.
Neville's been through some shit, man.
He has. He's such a resilient young boy.
Yeah.
Oh, Neville.
Yeah, and then she asks him what he thinks of the Thestrals.
Hold on.
I'm holding on.
He stuck his fork in the toast and now he's a ghost. It's Neville's granddad. <Da-da-da>. Oh, God, there you go.
And that's when the theme music passed to Neville.
Oh, God.
And one day it will drive Neville to stick his fork in the toaster. Oh, I'm glad we brought Neville's theme tune back. It's been a while.
Me too. It's been a while.
Yep. There we
go. If you can see how exasperated Tom looked at me there.
Because I knew it was... As soon as... Before I'd even said the words, it's been a while, I was like, I know what he's going to do.
Do you know what I thought was weird?
What was that?
It's weird that Hagrid doesn't actually teach them anything that's going to come up in their exams.
Yeah, I guess if Thestrals aren't going to come up in their exams...
he's teaching them stuff that he likes, but not anything that's going to come up in the exams. So what is the point? Well, he's actually being a bad teacher.
I guess so. I mean, it is care of magical creatures, but still the point is to get them to pass their exams,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because they're not going to do exams on Thestrals and fucking whatever he teaches them.
No, that's why what Grubbly Plank was doing.
Yeah, maybe he killed Grubbly Plank. Maybe he come back, saw that she was squatting in his heart.
And said, get up. You made a mess there.
Fang, stop eating it. Like, yeah. So they spent a romantic night together and he wakes up in the morning and her throat's been slit and the elf is on top of the knife and he's like, no! And Harry's like, Hermione, why is your robe all covered in blood? She's like, I'll tell you later.
It is a long story, but it's worth it.
Oh, God. Wow.
So Umbridge is a bitch. The lesson ends. December arrives.
Yeah. Holidays are coming. Harry's like, watch out. Look around. Everyone's like, what is that? And Harry's like, no, Ron.
Don't you worry about it.
Yeah. Just a lovely brown drink that we have and you can't.
Harry still hasn't had the heart to tell Hermione that Dobby is taking all of her hats.
Oh.
Which I think seems weird to me. I would tell her because...
I would too.
Because one, she's expending a lot of effort for nothing. Mm. And two, like, it's not really fair on the house elves.
Also, why didn't she just make one hat and then, like, protee on that?
Yeah. With literally knitted hats.
Yeah.
Like, as mundane an object as it's possible to get.
It's not like she was doing it with her hands when she got to school just because she liked the hobby. She was using magic to do it.
Yeah.
So she should have just magicked the hats.
I thought... So is that what the Proteon Charm is then? You just have
I don't know,
something
I'm just guessing from... It probably doesn't work like that, but...
No, because I thought that, like, with the galleons thing, it was that she, like, made a load of galleons through whatever magical metal manipulation or whatever, and then charmed them all so that they copy whatever state of this one is.
I thought it was that she charmed that and that initial one, and then, like, loads, like, burst from it. That
and then made a load
it.
Of duplicates of that yeah. one. Yeah.
So if she made one hat and then gave the hat to the other elves, and the elves wondered why over time a strange symbol was forming on the hat.
And Harry, for the first time, doesn't want to stay at Hogwarts over Christmas. And then Ron says, oh, didn't I tell you? Mum said you'd come stay at ours over Christmas, mate.
Yeah, and then Harry felt uplifted.
Yeah.
He's like, holidays really are coming. And Ron's like...
I still don't know what you're talking about.
And Harry's like, just pull your wheelie out, give it a shake and say, sha-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la-la. And Ron's like, all right then. And Harry's like, let me videotape it. Send it into You've Been Framed. But I'm keeping the £250, Ron.
They're like, well, this isn't the sort of thing we usually show on You've Been Framed, but...
you know, it is Christmas.
This little ginger idiot looks so confused. It's their last DA meeting.
Yeah.
And they get to the room of requirement and find that evidently Dobby has decorated the whole thing with baubles of Harry's face.
I totally forgot about that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Harry desperately takes it all down before anyone gets there.
He should have just set fire to it all. Oh, God.
So how is that possible?
What?
With what the Room of Requirement is. If you make changes to the decorations in a room, did Dobby... I guess Dobby would have had to go in it needing the exact room that Harry was going to go in needing later.
Maybe because he's got elf magic, he can, like, apparate into it, that room specifically or something.
Maybe, yeah. And Angelina arrives, says she's finally replaced Harry and Fred and George. Ginny's the new Seeker.
Oh, yeah. Who are the other two replacements?
Randos we've never heard of.
Ugh, that's lame.
Yeah. Literally just names, like nondescript names, and I just wrote randoms we've never heard of.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not happy about that.
Add it to the list.
Should we give them names?
Go on then.
Okay. Mercedes McFuffenhain. She's right. Like, yes, my auntie teaches Muggle studies here. Yeah. And Hermione's like, oh, wonderful. Here, take a hat. And who's the other one? She's so lame because I literally just looked at that. And I was like, Tree Barker. Tree Barker, Lon, Little Pip. Oh god.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it was decided.
Tree Barker Lon Little Pip.
And what was the first one called?
I can't remember now. Mercedes McVivalhidun or something like that.
Yeah, so they're doing the impediment jinx and then they'll move on to stunning again. And Cho beams at Harry across the room and Harry gets his boner back.
Yes.
His Cho boner.
Yeah. Chona.
His Chona.
My Chona.
Don't get it.
Neville's improved beyond measure.
Yes.
I'm happy about that.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw his buddy granddad die. Saw him put his fork in the toaster.
He's improved beyond measure. What a treasure. It's Neville. Dun dun dun.
Oh god! It's like sincere, like season finale theme tune. Yeah. It gets to the end of the session and Cho is hanging about.
Yeah, like packing her things away slowly.
Packing her things away slowly. And she's all teary and upset.
And she starts crying.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, let me videotape it. Oh, Harry, I don't want to be on You've Been Framed. It's like, no, this is going to a special online place.
It's like YouTube, but orange.
Yes, and entirely visited by wealthy, rich Asian men. Oh, God. Yeah, and he's like, what's wrong? Hey, baby, what's wrong?
And she's all like, maybe I just can't help but thinking maybe if Cedric had known all this, would he still be here?
I was like, he did know it. He was just that much of a cunt that he... I think he deserved to die, don't you, Cho?
Yeah. Cheer up. Yeah. Look, right. Hagrid's got some of his flank outside. Go and have a chew on it.
Mate, I think he might have frozen some of his sperm, so if you ever want a nice little lolly, I can hook you right up. Oh, I'll be like, just like, having him in your mouth. Here we go. No, I've got sensitive teeth too.
So long story short, they bang under the mistletoe.
Yeah.
And Harry goes back to the common room. Puts his fingers under Ron's nose.
Oh my god. Oh my god, and Ron's like, have you been packaging tuna? He's like, no. He does say, like, Ron's like, oh, how was it? He's like, it was wet. Ron's like, yeah, I bet it was.
I bet it was.
And Hermione's like, no, Ron, it's because she was crying. He's like, how do you know that? He's like,
well, Harry needed someone to work the camera.
Yeah, she needs to monitor a live stream, Ron.
Yeah. We need a moderator for the comments. Hermione's writing a very long letter.
Yeah, and I was thinking, does this become a plot point at some point?
I have no idea.
Because I don't even remember this being a thing.
Me neither.
Because it's a letter to Victor.
Yeah.
And it's like a long bit of parchment.
Yeah.
Maybe she's just telling him about her day.
Maybe she's just trying to corral foreign support.
Yes. Yeah, that must be it.
Yeah, she's all about that expansion.
She's like, Victor, look, it's just like if you played Risk, but, you know, in real life. Yeah, yeah. And like, everyone's like, oh, why was she crying? And then her mind's like, oh, it's obviously because she's feeling this. She's feeling, you know, guilt about Cedric because she likes Harry. She's obviously feeling massive pressure because of, you know, all that's going on.
Yeah, she's just generally conflicted about the whole Harry v. Cedric, worried about him being kicked off the Quidditch team because she's not been flying well.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, one person can't feel all that. They'd explode.
She's like, did she say a famous line in this?
Yeah. The eye roll.
Yeah, maybe you should do it in the accent, that would make it sound better.
Ron, you fucking... Just because you've got the fucking emotional depth of a teaspoon, you cunt.
I was like, all right, calm down.
Don't you fucking tell me to calm down. Fucking prick.
And she zips up her shell suit. Oh, God, Harry goes to bed.
Yes, he does. And he first dreams he's back in the DA room. Cho's like, you promised me 50 chocolate frog cards.
And Harry's like,
no, I fucking didn't.
Yeah, hate the player, not the game. No, hate the game, not the player. No, that's not right either. What is the saying?
Hate everyone.
Shazam.
Cho turns into Hermione and is... Oh, yeah, she says, Cedric used to give me loads of chocolate frog cards. And she turns into Hermione and is like, you have to give her something else. What about your firebolt? And he's like, I can't give you a firebolt. Umbridge has it. And then it changes into he's slithering along on his belly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just going. yeah, and he's sliding along a corridor, sees a man sitting asleep. Is he asleep? Seems like he's asleep.
I think so, yeah.
Serves him right then, really, doesn't it?
It does. He's not a very good watchman, is no. he? Fucking sleeping on the job, silly cunt.
Yeah.
Should have drank some coffee. I had a Red Bull.
Yeah.
Gives you wings, Tom.
So I'm told. Yeah, he sees a man sitting there and he longed to bite him, but he mustn't. He must resist. He has more important work to do. But then the man stirs, looks at him, draws his wand, and Harry realises he has no choice and strikes once, twice.
Three times a lady. Yeah, he cracks his ribs.
Yeah, feels the blood and shit all spurting out under his...
Oh, did he puncture his colon as well? Like, ew!
I mean, you know, I'm game if you are.
I was going to kill you, but if you want to make some shize essence.
Yeah, some shize essence. Oh, he's bleeding on the floor. Like, I mean, yeah.
I have got this little pot with me. Snake's like, what's that? Have you heard of Molly's gravy? Yeah. He's like, yes, it's famous in the wizarding world. Like, ah, oh, good. Get your fangs around that. No, not the gravy, I meant my penis. It's got its own special type of venom. He's like, oh, Nagini.
And of course, Arthur ends up fucking the snake. What? What other outcome could there possibly have been?
Oh, God. Wow.
So Harry wakes up with a start.
Now he's woken up by Ron, because Ron's shaking him.
Oh, yeah, Ron's shaking him. He's going, Harry, Harry. And his forehead's burning.
Yeah.
Real bad. And he's like, yeah.
And he's like, Ron, get that candle away from me. I'm so shit. I'm sorry. So, oh, sorry, I couldn't see you.
Sorry, I thought you might like some of this wax play. But yeah, he's in intense pain, and he gets up and vomits down the side of his bed, struggling to breathe. And he knows he needs to tell Ron what's happened. Mm. He's like, Ron, your dad's into some super weird shit. There's a snake, and I don't know what they're doing, but the forked tongue's getting real busy.
Yeah, all I could see was your dad's pews coming towards my eyes and then going away. And then coming towards my eyes and going away.
Luckily, the snake can lie completely flat and dislocate its jaw.
Oh, God. Everyone's like, ah, oh, yeah.
Sounds about right for this podcast. I was like, what?
So you know what a podcast is, but you've never heard of Coca-Cola. Yeah. What kind of madness is this? Oh, fuck me, yeah. And then
Neville's gone off to get help.
Yeah.
And brings back McG.
She's in a tartan dress and gown. She's like, oh, I knew you guys would want it eventually. She's got a wheelbarrow of shortbread behind her. She's like, I haven't put it in the oven yet. I thought we could do that together.
The dough still needs kneading and shaping.
We need to put those little holes in the top, you know. The lovely pattern. I've already made my mark, as you can see. It's like, why is it so strangely shaped? Like, oh, I had some good Highland labia theatre. Harry, why'd you look so upset?
Yeah, and basically he does the whole "it wasn't a dream, I really saw it" spiel, and McGonagall believes him. Thankfully.
She's like, I believe you, Potter. Now put on your dressing gown. We're going to see Dolores. I mean, Dumbledore. Yeah, and that's where the chapter ends.
It is.
Come back next week for more thrilling tales from the Fifi.
Yes.
Yeah.
More frilly tales. Fruity tales.
Oh, I was trying to think of other words.
Sexy tales.
Bestial tales. Oh, God. Go to our Instagram. Check out our things.
But imagine we commanded it less violently.
It's at PoorlyReadPod. Visit our Twitter at PoorlyReadPod. Email us your things at poorlyread@gmail.com. And rate and review us on Apple.
Yeah, again.
Yes. On the Apple Podcast app, not just on an Apple.
Yes, carve your review into an Apple.
Yes, you get thrown out of Tesco. Yeah, please do that. It helps us. I mean, it helps us, it helps you. Because if we don't exist, then what would you laugh at?
Nothing.
Oh, God, I've been gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid has fucking been Hagrid.
He certainly has.